Pastor Jason Cooley here with Brother Gerald Finney and OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. And I've got Brother Finney here today, and we're going to talk about, Brother Finney, from a legal standpoint, from a Christian lawyer standpoint, you know, just this issue that we have an article that baffles the mind that we would be in this place today in America. But you foresaw it, so we're going to talk about some of those things as things that you were seeing back in the 80s. But there's an article, and we'll link to it on Sermon Audio and on YouTube. It's called Christian Filmmakers Must Work Gay Weddings Despite Religious Beliefs, Minnesota Court Rules. Just in some opening comments, you know, give us your thoughts about kind of how we got to this point in America and how we're actually even discussing this today. It's just amazing to me.
Well, the roots of it go way back. Of course, we haven't discussed where we're going with this, but I believe it goes back to the 20s and even before, when immorality went rampant.
Well, I, you know, you were talking about, when you and I talked earlier, we talked about, you know, some of the history. You worked with the religious right movement and the moral majority and things like that in the past. So you kind of dealt with some of those people and saw, like, the direction of the homosexual movement and where it was going at that time. And I guess, would you say over the last 20 years that it's absolutely snowballed in its control of the media now and control of the conversation? It's like they absolutely took over the conversation.
Well, yeah, they targeted academia. They targeted politics. They even targeted the courts. They targeted the churches. And we've seen their advances in all those areas. They targeted entertainment back in the 70s, and it started coming to the fore with various films. I remember there was the movie back when I was lost. I went and saw it. It was called, I believe, Boys in the Band or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it showed no nudity, showed no sexual acts. It was all about how funny the homosexual community was and how carefree and so forth they were, and just made everything look funny and made homosexuals out to be just good people, you know, and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
And then in the late 70s, early 80s, little innuendos on situation comedies on TV. Of course, once I got saved, I quit going to the movies. I quit watching TV for the most part. I had to wean myself off of sports and a few things, but as far as watching situation comedies, I never had watched a lot of TV, but I just didn't watch any of it anymore.
Well, they were using it to indoctrinate the generations into homosexuality and everything else.
Yeah, they would just add little sayings here and there and little innuendos, and of course that proliferated as time went on, as we saw. And it got really bad, you know, and it's gotten really bad. Entertainment now in America, generally speaking, secular entertainment is a moral cesspool, of course. And it's gotten worse in our churches. It's gotten worse in politics. And now they're hitting the courts. They're hitting the courts. Of course, they hit the courts long ago. You know, as we've talked about, the Bible says there's three steps in the downfall of a nation: religious apostasy, moral awfulness, political tyranny. Well, we're well into that third stage in America, and that's a lesson out of the Word of God. Every Gentile nation will be judged by God.
Amen.
And every Gentile nation that's ever existed, and even Israel, God's theocracy. I had to cut off my article because it started playing something there.
But anyway, yeah.
Anyway, that's a story. Every nation in the Old Testament was judged, specifically called out, named, in the judgments that came to them. And it was made clear that all nations that ever exist will be judged by God. And the final judgment and the final overthrow of the world governments, the Gentile governments, at Armageddon, you know.
Yep.
So when we're looking at it from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective, we realize this is going to happen unless we have succumbed to a false theology that says the church working with the state's going to bring peace and unity to the world.
Which, of course, we know that's not going to happen because the Bible foretells of the apostasy and the destruction of the world in the end, and then Christ setting up his kingdom to rule and reign afterwards. So we know that that's not that their timeline and their idea of ushering in the kingdom is not going to happen the way that they believe it is, according to the scriptures.
As a lawyer from a legal perspective, and combined with all my other activities, first with the Moral Majority and then the Christian Coalition, in the working through the Republican Party, you know, back in the 80s, I had succumbed to that idea that we were going to take America back for God. Well, I hadn't studied out the Bible and what it had to say at that time. And we were all excited about President Reagan and things that were going to happen. But by the late 90s, I was beginning to see that all our efforts were counterproductive. And when a case called Lawrence v. Texas came out in 2002, I realized that it was over for America. It's just a matter of time.
You saw where the agenda was heading. When that case came out, it was pivotal, and you looked at it and you said, you know what, as an attorney or as a Christian, I see where this is going, and it's not going towards righteousness. It is degrading into sinfulness and wickedness. And, you know, there's a few books that you mentioned, and I'm going to have you show those books right now that you said are good books on the subject that people ought to read and take a look at. Because they'll really familiarize them with the issue at hand. And what are those books, Brother Finney?
Okay, this one I read in the early 90s. It's by a law professor named F. Lagarde Smith, and he covers all aspects of what's going on. It's very timely, even for today. And it's called Sodom's Second Coming.
Sodom's Second Coming by Lagarde Smith. Okay, the deadly homosexual...
is in Frank, Lagard Smith.
Amen. Okay, well, that's interesting.
Excellent. Oh, it's excellent, excellent, excellent book. Another one came out, I believe, in 2003 with this one here called The Homosexual Agenda by Alan Sears and Craig Olstein.
Wow.
And these books cover all aspects. They cover the fact, and they quote directly from people supporting the homosexual agenda, and they use the word homosexual agenda. The Bible word is sodomite agenda, but
yep.
I think Mr. Smith in his books said there is no such thing as a homosexual. There are only those people who commit homosexual acts.
Right.
You know, but lots of great insights in both of these books that, for example, even there's an appendix in this last book I mentioned. It's Background Brief, and this is something you and I are very well acquainted with, but Background Brief, The Future of Tax Exemption and Homosexual Behavior.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember even David Gibbs stating, attorney David Gibbs, he stated that the biggest fear that he had for the tax exempt status in the nonprofit corporations were the homosexual agenda. He said that was his greatest fear that he had in the future for their viability was the sodomite agenda would eventually invade that arena and cause a loss of what they deemed freedom. Of course, you and I understand that it's not freedom, it's bondage to enter into those systems of government that you don't have to, that we don't have to be a 501c3. We don't have to be a nonprofit organization or any of those things or take the tax exempt status. And we're not going to talk about that today, but you know, you can go to geraldfinney.wordpress.com and you can learn about that issue. and organize your church according to biblical principles. But you can go there to find that out. But yeah, we've studied that and went through that. And of course, you and I have a passion and an understanding of that issue. Now, I want to move on to this, right? This, I want to read part of this article here. A Minnesota court has ruled that a Christian filmmaking couple must document gay weddings despite their religious beliefs that marriage is only between a man and a woman. So this court has ruled that Alliance Defending Freedom, the law firm representing Carl and Angel Larson of Telescope Media Group, announced on Wednesday that it will appeal against Chief U.S. District Judge John Tunheim's decision. So where do they appeal at, Brother Finney? Where are they going to appeal this decision?
Well, that was, I believe that was a state district court. It might have been a federal district court. I'm trying to get to that article right now. As you know, we just briefly talked about, U.S. district judge. It's U.S. district court. So they go to the, I believe it's the Eighth Circuit up here. If I were in Texas, it'd be
the Ninth. I think that's what it says, something about the Eighth Circuit. Tolerance is a two-way street. Creative professionals who engage in the expression of ideas shouldn't be threatened with fines and jail simply for having a particular point of view about merits the government may not favor, said ADF Senior Counsel Jeremy Tedesco following the decision. He says that public officials can't censor filmmakers or demand that they tell stories in film that violate their deepest convictions. Tedesco insisted that people should have the freedom to disagree on critical matters of conscience. So from an attorney standpoint, let me ask you, does a business, does a film creator, does a baker, does a candlestick maker, do any of these people, do they have the right to refuse business according to the First Amendment, according to the U.S. Constitution, according to historical interpretation of those documents, do they have that right to refuse that?
Well, if their government says they have that right. Okay. And that's where they're going, is to the government authority, the courts, to try to say that they do not have that right, based upon man's reasoning. Of course, we realize it's the reasoning of the God of this world, but they will offer all kinds of legal arguments on each side to support their positions. And of course, you do not bring the Bible into the equation. See, the courts do not defer to the Word of God, and that's the problem. The highest authority is the Word of God.
Yep.
And if America's Constitution had been correctly constructed, it was in some ways. The First Amendment is a biblical principle, separation of church and state. It separates church and state. It gives freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of religion, which is the free exercise of religion, and the right to worship God according to the dictates of your own conscience, or worship no God.
Right.
Freedom of press, freedom of association, all those things are statements of biblical principles. But the problem is America, if it were a Christian nation, as many Christians assert, the courts would defer to the highest authority, which is the Bible, in trying to resolve these issues. And that does not mean that anyone in America would not have a right, because they would defer to the Bible, and because the First Amendment is a statement of biblical principle, God's principles. Every person would still have the right to speak, write, worship, and so forth, according to the dictates of their own conscience, to exercise their religion. Because the Bible teaches, the New Testament teaches, separation of church and state. In other words, God wants people to have a choice whether to turn to Him or to turn to some other God, or to turn to their sin, you know, to refute. This is a story that maybe you want to relate about your encounter with an individual earlier.
Yeah, amen. That's good. When we were, you know, when I was first saved, I remember with this homosexual, you know, homosexuality was there, but it was still taboo back in even, I'm sorry, but even 15, 20 years ago, it was, when I first got saved 15 years ago, homosexuality was completely taboo still. It was not as common as it is today. It was very looked down upon. It was not, you know, it still was not exalted to this morality that it is today, or normalcy that it is today. So I remember witnessing, and I went to a gas station. I was witnessing to a man, my brother-in-law and I, we were witnessing to a man that was a homosexual. And we brought him the gospel, and we would go back week after week to try to talk to him and try to win him to the Lord and try to see him, you know, repent and put his faith in Christ. And you know what? It all came down to it, Brother Finney. He understood that he had to turn from that sin in order to be saved. Because he said that, he goes, I don't want to give up my boyfriend for Christ. And I know that if I get saved, I got to walk away from my boyfriend. And I'm not willing to do that. You know, so he understood repentance better than most independent fundamental Baptist pastors do out there. He knew what repentance was. It was to turn. He had to turn from that. But then eventually, after he got saved, the fruit of that turning from his sin would be that he would walk away from that forever. And he knew that. He understood that.
Amen.
Better than most people, better than most fundamental Baptist pastors do today, I would say.
I've had homosexuals make that statement to me on numerous occasions, even as recently as the last time before last we went out street preaching, where that young lady said, well, I don't want to give up my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. And many of them know the wrong. I watched her. She was weeping tears when she was talking to you.
Yes, she understood.
And I don't think her heart was that hardened yet. I mean, she knew what was right. She knew, and I don't believe she was that hardened yet. I believe she's still in a place of decision. She's at the valley of decision where she's got to make a decision. You know, so, I mean, we have to understand that about homosexuals as well. Now, getting back to this, let me ask you a specific question. In your understanding of studying the law, and I know states have their own laws, which will be challenged by the federal court in the federal court system, and things like that. Do you believe the First Amendment or anything of its like affords us the ability or the liberty to deny making a homosexual video if we don't want to?
Well, I'm a believer, and of course, you know, of course, when you understand the history of the First Amendment, the meaning of the First Amendment, we understand that, no, we have freedom of speech. Now, of course, the courts are going to be either conservative or liberal. The judges are either going to be conservative or liberal. What I say, as far as the application to the real world, has very little effect. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's what the court says. It's what the judges say that look at it. Now, they can go in and make their arguments, and the courts will make a decision whether to defer to God or to defer to the God of this world. Now, they will not understand that. And, of course, you cannot make those arguments in court. I understand that. But just understanding the First Amendment, what it means, of course. But you see,
when you have Roe,
there is no absolutes.
No,
as far as a liberal judge is concerned,
right?
There's no logic in their opinions.
The one thing that's interesting to me about it, though, too, as the courts have historically upheld that First Amendment in a lot of ways, because liberals like to express their right, so to speak. They like to exercise their point of views or their opinions or whatever. So historically, in a lot of places, in a lot of cases, it seems like to me they've upheld that, even liberal judges have, because of for the sake of the principle of the First Amendment themselves, for them wanting that right to be able to do that. But it seems like to me we're heading in a time of, you know, you made a mention to me, and I would have to agree with that, that if Hillary had been president, it probably already would have changed the sense of those things a little more, because it'd be easier for them to ram their agenda through. There at least has to be an appearance of conservatism with the president administration and the Congress and everything like that. But, you know, the Republicans are going gay big time. The religious right is going gay big time. They're running the homosexual agenda, and the transgender movement, the LGBTQ movement is running. You know, we're coming to the times, brother, which we've always been there, but we're going to have to trust the Lord, and we're going to have to stand up and speak out against these things, and speak out against homosexuality, and speak out against its wickedness, and speak out against the transgender movement and the LGBTQ movement and all that kind of stuff, and continue to preach and stand firm on those things.
Well, amen. And you're speaking of speech in the public forum. It's still protected. This case we're looking at involves a business.
Now, I know. How does that work? Do businesses have First Amendment rights?
Well, they have First Amendment rights, and that's the issue that's being litigated, is whether or not this Minnesota statute as being applied. Now, I don't know if they're making a facial and an as-applied argument. In other words, facially, is it unconstitutional just on its face, or as it's being applied in this factual situation, is it unconstitutional? But they're arguing that it is the attorneys, I believe it's Alliance Defense Fund attorneys for the business, mm-hmm. arguing that it is protected by the First Amendment. The other side is arguing that it is not. And here again, it boils down to the fact that they have, in most people's minds, convinced a lot of people that homosexuality, sodomy, and sexual perversion is like race. You're born with it. There's nothing you can do about it. They're saying it's not behavior. It's not something you can turn from, you see. And of course, that young lady we mentioned earlier was confused because her pastor, she had consulted with her pastor, and her pastor told her that if she loved her girlfriend and her girlfriend loved her, there was nothing wrong with their relationship, you see.
Oh, my.
So they're trying and to convince people, and as you've pointed out, they've convinced a lot of people that it's genetic, not behavior. It's not sin, see.
Right.
But see, a lot of these, and I get off on tangents, but they are relevant. A lot of these people have not yet been given up to a reprobate mind.
That's right.
And that's our purpose. First of all, as a lawyer, I'm dealing with issues constantly, but I'm not too much involved with these kind of issues anymore. But our desire is to appeal to all men and women.
Amen. That's right. And we want them to be saved.
Repent. And we've talked to God.
Yep. And we've talked to them. We go on the front lines, and we go out and we speak to people, just like your interaction with that young lesbian girl. You know, we tried to discuss that with her, and very compassionate and very kind to her, and explained to her that what she's doing is wrong. That's not love. The Bible defines what love is. God defines what love is, and that's not love. And, you know, that's our purpose. That's why we do what we do, is to go out in all the world and preach the gospel for every creature, to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, to warn these people, we don't hate them. And at the end, I'm gonna share with them the truth of the gospel, that they might be saved. And if they hear this, because I want them to hear this, I want them to be saved. We don't want them to go to hell. We're not mad at them. We don't think they're any you know, worse in that sense than any of us were, such as were some of you, Paul said, to those in Corinth, who were, you know, stuck in the, in those sins, and who had, or who had repented of those sins, and they were actually stuck in those before. Let me ask you this now. One of the game changers that took place a few years ago, Brother Finney, was in the legal realm. It seems like they changed. It seems like they turned the LGBTQ movement into a, likened it to the, to racial, racial discrimination. So in effect, basically they equaled it with being a racist. They said, if you disagree with homosexuality, or if you discriminate against homosexuality, then that's just like discriminating against race. And, you know, that's when they enacted their hate speech, their hate laws, and their all their other things that they have tried to push on the American people and tried to push to silence Christians. The homosexual agenda is about nothing more than silencing Christians. It is about silencing the Bible, the Word of God. It's about shutting up the preaching of God's Word and telling the Christians to go back in their closet, basically.
F. Ligard Smith in Sodom's Second Coming makes a very important argument, I believe, and that is that homosexuals feel condemned by their activity, and they attribute that condemnation to society, mm-hmm. to the churches, to Bible preachers, society in general back in the 60s, 70s, and before. And they feel that if they can get man through his authority, the civil government, to ban all speech that condemns homosexuality, that they will no longer feel condemned in their conscience. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, that's not true. They will still be condemned until, if and until they are given up by God to a reprobate mind. They're not solving their own problem. They No. think, many of them think they are, by seeking condemnation. One thing I want to revert to is our street preaching. You alluded to the fact, and I have on my website cites to very recent cases. I also got a tract on street preaching in America. Is it legal? Even all the liberal judges are upholding speech in the public forum, even speech that would say that homosexuality and lesbianism and sodomy are sins, and other sexual perversions are sins. They're still upholding, surprisingly, those freedoms of speech. I've got a theory about that. I believe Satan knows this. See, in one of their old cases, they said if everyone's allowed freedom to speak in the marketplace of ideas, the truth will eventually emerge. Mm-hmm. That's not true. The truth will not prevail. Satan always is more, and his worldview and his principles are always more better received by the average person, because the average person is lost. And as we're seeing, homosexuality and sodomy and all these perversions are being accepted, even though we've got the right in the public forum to disperse the truth. And there are reasons for that. There aren't enough people doing what God called them to do. Not enough churches are sending people out into the public forum. They believe they're supposed to stay in the four walls of their building. That's another lie, and you preached on that extensively. The four walls of the church building are for the church members, mm-hmm. born-again believers who have been baptized into the church. That's what the church is for. It's for the edification of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body, you know. And so churches, but also you've got a lot of people who dishonor their Lord in the way they, in their methodology out on the streets. And they make us look like fools.
Yep.
And so forth. And you combine that with the tendency of people to be more attracted to Satan's principles. than God's, well, they're going to prevail. And the liberals who have any understanding know that. They know that freedom of speech is not a danger to what they stand for and in the public forum. And plus, how do you get rid of freedom of speech for some and not others? You see what I mean, Pastor? It opens up all kinds of problems because they want the liberals to be able to go out and do their thing. And how do they allow the liberals to do so and not religious people? And of course, the answer to that is, well, hate speech and so forth. But hate speech has not prevailed. We still have those freedoms in the public forum. Now, with the businesses like these articles we're looking at, that's another area of attack. It's separate from, it's not like going out on the street and preaching.
No, it's in the business realm.
Yeah. They still are relying on the First Amendment, but it has to be, there are different arguments, different ways of arguing the First Amendment in that scenario, you know.
Right. So all arguments are not the same, and it's not as cut and dry simple as it is with the First Amendment in the public forum.
Amen. Because, you know, I think you and I would agree that anyone should be able to go into a restaurant if they're traveling and stop and get a meal.
Sure.
You know, anybody, any race should not be denied the access to public restrooms based on their race. God created us all.
Amen.
But race is something entirely different, but they're trying to equate action and behavior with race. And it's not the same. You're not born a homosexual. You might somehow, you know, and I believe this, Pastor, a lot of people become disoriented by attacks from adults when they're children. Catholic priests seduce them.
Yep.
A family member seduces them. Now, some of them don't convert and become totally disoriented. Some of them are attacked and they realize that it was wrong and they despise it. But I know many, many lesbians, many, many sodomites were sexually molested when they were children. Oh, yeah. And that's sad. That's sad. I can't imagine how it would have affected me.
Yes.
Thank the Lord I grew up in a time when that didn't happen too much, at least in the area I grew up in. I never knew of one instance. I've been to my class reunions, and no one there exhibits any indication that I see now of being other than what they are, you know. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine how it would affect an individual?
Absolutely. Devastating.
You know, we our heart goes out to these people, but sure, we still have to tell them the truth.
And we do. And you know what? That's how I think I'll close this out here by saying that, you know, if you're listening to this and you are a homosexual, a sodomite, a transgender, part of that LGBTQ group, let me tell you that our desire for you is that you would repent and that you would believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, whatever happened to you in your life, if something tragic did happen to you, if you were abused or anything like that, we want you to be saved. You don't need to live in, you know, that can be the old you, and the Lord Jesus Christ can take that pain and that suffering and that anger and that bitterness and that wrath and malice out of your heart, and he can give you a new heart and save your soul. But the Bible says you must repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. It's only Jesus that can save you. The Bible says that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. And in him you might have life. Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And you don't have to be a slave to that sexual sin and perversion. There's men out there, if you're listening to this, that you might be a slave to pornography. You don't have to be a slave to those sexual sins and that wickedness. You can repent by the grace of God and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you'll turn to Christ alone for salvation and repent and turn away from those sins, then he'll change you. He'll give you a new heart. He'll make you a new creature. And old things will pass away, and all things will become new. And you'll have a new life in Christ with a new family, new brothers and sisters, and a new desire to serve him and live for him, and a new heart to do so. So we pray that if you listen to this and you don't understand completely what I just said, there's a sermon you can go to on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley, the gospel which is able to save your soul, or you can visit geraldfinney.wordpress.com. There's plenty of things there and plenty of resources there to learn about the gospel and learn, and plenty of sermons to connect to. And if you have any questions, you can most certainly email me at PastorCooley@iCloud.com or Brother Gerald Finney, too. You can contact him through his website as well. So we want to help you. We're not mad at you. We're not angry at you. We're not going to stand and call you a bunch of names. We'll tell you the truth about what you're doing is wicked and evil in the sight of God. But, we've had street preachers that have done those things, and they're no longer with us because we don't believe in that. We want you to know the truth, and that the truth will make you free. And the truth is Jesus Christ. So, I think that's about it, Brother Finney, for today. I think we got it covered. And I appreciate you taking your time out of the day to come and help us with this and kind of talk about this issue.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Pastor. I know personally that you're deeply concerned for these people. Our church is deeply concerned for them. That's our only motive, our love for God and our love for them.
Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Gerald Finney, Pastor Jason Cooley, OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota.